We're going to look at Priscilla. We're up now, right?
Yeah.
We're going to look at Priscilla, woman of the Bible. And Priscilla is a very, very interesting case. And we find first mention of her really, we get in Acts 18, 1 and 2. And Acts, you'll remember, is where we have the thought of Paul coming from Athens to Corinth in Acts 18, 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And then in verse 2 we read, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And so this is really our introduction to Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. So we're going to stop just for a moment and take some context here. So what happened was that Aquila and Priscilla were already residing in Corinth because of an event that we'll look at in just a moment. And so shortly after they had left Rome and come to Corinth, then Paul came and obviously met with them. And because he called them able ministers, we realized that they were Jewish in background, but they were Christians. And because he called them able ministers, we believe that at that point they were also considered to be brethren as well. So they were consecrated Christians. Now, when we look at the circumstances of what made them come from Rome, it really had to do with Claudius. And he ordered all the Jews from Rome. And what was happening, and to frame this up, there was a great famine on the really the inhabited earth. And you'll think later on, remember Paul went back to Jerusalem to take some alms, some money and things to help with the brethren there because there was a great famine? This is that same event. So really it had affected the entire Roman Empire, and some of those in Greece and Turkey in that area were a little more affluent, and so they were able to give of their bounty to help support those in Jerusalem, and we see that later on in Acts. So just to kind of frame it up. But what happened was this great famine had occurred within the Roman Empire, and some of the Jews in Rome were revolting. And so what happened was there was a decree made, and it wasn't made by the Senate. Normally it would have come by the Senate, but Claudius decreed, and this is about 50 or 51 AD, that all the Jews had to leave Rome. And that was the motivator for Aquila and Priscilla to go to Corinth, which was a precursor to Paul coming there, and then we'll look at our story. So that kind of gives you the background of what happened. The other significant thing is that this really exodus or dispersion from Rome for the Jews only lasted during Claudius's life. So as you'll see as we get towards the end of this, Priscilla and Aquila actually came back. Remember when Paul was imprisoned there, the commentaries say that they actually came back to reside in Rome, and once again their home was a place of a residence of the church. So what happened was they came from Italy down to Corinth, and that gives you some idea of their journey, and normally it would be a sea journey. And then Paul was in Athens. Now, Athens really not very far away, and so he came into Corinth. And so this is where our story continues in Acts 18:3. And because he was in the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, and for their occupation they were tent makers. So really, he's identifying what his craft was. And so they were kindred minds from a providing for themselves. This was their vocation, as well as Christians. And so it was kind of a natural thing that they had an affinity for one another, but the affinity went way, way, way beyond tent making. They were kindred spirits, really. And I think we've all seen this as we've met brethren that are very dedicated and consecrated. We've seen it in Africa. It's very inspirational. You meet somebody and go, wow, they really get it. And I think that's the feeling that we have with both Aquila and Priscilla. And so one of the other things to note, whenever we look at them in the Bible, I think almost every case where they're mentioned, they're always mentioned as a couple. And you know, the saying is that two are stronger than their combined effort, right? They're greater than either individual. So you see a couple that really works together, especially in the Lord, and you see a dynamic where they really work together. And this was a new thing because one of the things we're going to see is that religion was changing. The mindset was changing. When you look at either the pagan religions or the other religions of the time, they were very male-centric. And this was something that was changing. It was very much, there are roles and responsibilities. And women were not at a discounted role. They had a role, so there was specific things that they did and didn't do, just like the men, but they were very active. Now, when we were in Israel, we actually saw this because we went in a synagogue, and do you know where the women sit in the synagogue? In the balcony. So there's a separation, almost another class. And what we see in the church is God, is, you know, Jesus and Paul said, no. This is a different arrangement. It's very integral. Husbands, wives, men and women all work together as one. So this was very difficult. Oh, my wireless connection is gone. And so they resided there. And they resided there apparently for quite some time in Acts 18 and 19. It says, and Paul after this tarried there a good while. And I think the suggestion was for about a year and a half, and took his leave of the brethren. So at some point, he took his leave and sailed hence unto Syria. And on first reading, you might think, well, he went directly to Syria, which would actually be on the far right of the screen in green. But what they were saying is he's making his trip back to Syria, and by reference, when you look where he went to Caesarea Maritima on the coast, just north of what's currently Tel Aviv, and then he went to Jerusalem. So it's saying he was going to take his trip. It was time to take the funds and the other things and go back to Jerusalem. And you'll remember, as we read later in Acts, this was a time when the brethren warned him not to go back there because he would be arrested. What did he say? God told me to go there. I'm going to go there. So he knew he was going to be arrested as well. So anyway, they made the first leg of this journey was from Corinth, where the red circle is, over to Ephesus. And so it says, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had made a vow, this was Paul, and he came on to Ephesus. So they all went to Ephesus, and once again they established a household, and there was preaching and so forth. But Paul really didn't tarry there very long. In Acts 18, 20 and 21. And he left them there. So it's saying he left Aquila and Priscilla there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And there, so he was still actively preaching. And this is apparently a picture of part of a structure he may have preached in. And when they desired him to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not. So the brethren there wanted him to continue to stay. But Paul realized he was on a mission for God and that in God's due time, it's time for him to leave. And so what he did, he bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. So that's the Apostle Paul. But I will return unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus and he landed in Caesarea. And this is Caesarea Maritima, which is in current Israel. So what did he leave behind? Aquila and Priscilla. Now, what was their role? We continue. Apollos, you know, which is another individual we're aware of. And, you know, as I read this and kind of boned up on it, it was kind of interesting. In Acts 18, 24 and 25, and it said a certain Jew named Apollos, I think we're familiar with him because he was very instrumental in spreading the gospel. Born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and a mighty in the scriptures came to Ephesus. So he was eloquent. He was apparently a good speaker. He knew the scriptures. And he came to Ephesus to help in the efforts. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. So at this point in his career, Apollos was more fervent than intellectual. And we know that because what it goes on to say is he spake and taught diligently of the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he did not yet understand Christ's baptism. Now I want to look at who helped him understand. And this once again is this new culture of Christianity where there are men and women and there's reasoning going on with one another. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, this is a way of saying they corrected and enhanced his knowledge. So they probably corrected him in some things where he was preaching John's baptism, but they also helped him to understand the deeper things of God. And then you see Apollos going on to be very much a bigger part of the ministry and the spreading of the word of God. But who were the instrumental people? In this case, Priscilla was very, very key in this process. And so we can imagine them sitting around, just like when we get a new brother or sister that's interested in the truth, and they're very eager to understand God's plan. They're sitting around, they're explaining the things to him. Of course, then it was not the scriptures as we know, but the events and the things that they'd learned from all the apostles. In Romans 16:3-4, this is a later time when the apostle Paul is going back and sending out greeting. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. And now do you notice, in many cases, it's Priscilla first. And when you read the commentaries, they say she was very, very zealous. And so they think she was also very good at articulating the scriptures and understanding of God's plan. And he says, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So the apostle Paul realized at this point that he was really waning. His ministry was drawing down, but he realized these were able stewards and able helpers who have for my life laid down their own necks. Now, this is a little bit mysterious at first. What did they do where they laid down their own necks? Let's look. You know, earlier, the apostle Paul was preaching, and rioters moved against Paul because he was a central Christian feature, a figurehead. And so there was instances, and this was around the Feast of Diana, where the locals got very riled up. Who was Paul staying with? He was staying with Priscilla and Aquila. And he was staying in their home. So doubtless they really literally put their necks on the line, and they put themselves out at risk to house and help the Apostle Paul. And they did so very lovingly and willingly. Then also in Romans, it talks about, likewise, greet the church that is at their house. And it's referring back to Priscilla and Aquila. And although we don't think the entire church meant there, we know what they mean. You know, when you go in any community, there is a home, the home of a brother or sister that's always open, that the brethren collect at, that there's lots of discussions. And I think this was really what was happening here and what's mentioned in Romans 16:5. In 1 Corinthians 16:19, now they're back in Rome. It says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is at their house. So once again, we see that cooperative home being offered in service to the Lord, a household for the Lord, to the fact that it's mentioned in two separate places in two separate cities. Really what we see with Priscilla is that there's a new mission and culture. So when we look at Judaism, it's very male-oriented, male-centric, male-authoritative model. When we look at what was happening, we look at the pagan religion, same thing. Now when we look at what's happening with Christianity, all of a sudden we're told there's new roles. There's neither Greek, Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Because we realize that God is no respecter of persons. So this was a new arrangement. And so now we look at Aquila and Priscilla, and Priscilla especially, she's now a role model. So what do we learn about Priscilla? She was a model of service, of zeal, of sacrifice, hospitality, and really love. And this was different than it had been in the past with Judaism. She demonstrated women's new role in the church. And you know, when we go to different countries, we realize there are some very male-centric civilizations or cultures, and we have to kind of unlearn, because in the church, We should all be integrated. We should all be interacting. We should all be questioning and proving and contributing. And so this was very much the model that she was demonstrating, not in her words, but in her actions. And she was an example to all the believers as a result. And really started and continuing this tradition that we call watering and planting. That's what the Apostle Paul called it. And when you water and plant and the plant comes to fruition and then there's new seed, and then what happens? There's watering and planting again. And so this really pointed out the importance of this process that was occurring in the early church and that continues by the Lord's will down to our day. And so we see how critical Priscilla is as a model of this new arrangement. And what a wonderful example as we discuss and read up on her.